Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to today's podcast, discussing what's hot in the Windows security world for April 2008. I'm Dave Nielsen, Associate Site Editor for SearchWindowsSecurity.com. Joining me today is Brian Posey. Brian has previously received Microsoft's Most Valuable Professional Award 4 times for his work with Windows Server, IIS, and Exchange Server. He has served as CIO for a nationwide chain of hospitals and healthcare facilities and was once a network administrator for Fort Knox. How are you today, Brian?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Hey, no problem. Okay, so first off, Microsoft released 5 critical patches this month. In your opinion, which of these do you think is the most dangerous?
Well, all of the critical patches are designed to prevent remote code execution. One of the patches is for Microsoft Office, 2 are for Windows, and the other 2 are for Internet Explorer. What I found most interesting about these security patches is that they're going to affect so many people because they cover multiple versions of the products that they're designed to fix. For example, the Windows flaw affects Windows Server 2003 with Service Pack 1 and 2, Windows Vista, and Windows Server 2008. The Internet Explorer patch affects users running IE6 and IE7, and the Microsoft Office security bulletin applies to Office XP. Once it's had Service Pack 3 applied, Office 2003 and Office 2007. I really hate to label any one of these issues as being the most dangerous because they're all critical in nature and need to be treated that way. If I absolutely had to pick one, you know, somebody putting a gun to my head, then I would have to go with the Internet Explorer issues only because Internet Explorer seems to be the application that gets attacked more often than any of the others.
Well, speaking of those others, which of those do you think we should also keep our eyes on?
Well, it's important to remember that these 5 critical issues are not the only issues that Microsoft's addressing this patch Tuesday. There are 3 other vulnerabilities for which the patches have been classified as being important. One is a Windows patch designed to prevent spoofing. Another is a Windows patch that's designed to prevent elevation of privilege attacks. And the third one is a patch for Microsoft Office that is designed to prevent remote code execution. I think that all 3 of those patches are definitely worth checking into, even though they're not classified as being critical.
Well, sticking with patches, one thing I found interesting was that Microsoft went off the beaten path a little bit at the end of March and released an out-of-cycle patch. Can you tell us about this patch and what was so important that Microsoft released it when they did?
Sure. Last Tuesday, which was March the 11th, last patch Tuesday, which was March 11th, Microsoft released 4 critical patches that were supposed to have fixed 12 known vulnerabilities for Microsoft Office. Less than 2 weeks later, though, Microsoft released an out-of-cycle critical patch revision that was designed to prevent various remote code execution exploits. In fact, Symantec even discovered an Excel spreadsheet that was designed to take advantage of one of those security flaws and provide an attacker with remote access to a system through a vulnerability in Excel, as weird as that sounds. The really interesting thing about the patch is that Microsoft knew about these vulnerabilities back in 2005, but didn't patch them directly because they thought that the problem had been fixed through some other patches that had been released. Once word that the vulnerability still existed and that news became public, Microsoft did the only thing they could do and released an out-of-cycle patch to address them immediately.
What do you make of the fact that Microsoft recently acquired anti-rootkit vendor Komoku? Do you think that we'll be seeing more anti-rootkit technology from Microsoft in the near future?
I certainly hope so. I remember early on in the Windows Vista development process that somebody at Microsoft told me that Vista was going to be designed in a way that it would be able to monitor the integrity of its system files in order to prevent rootkits. As history shows, though, that didn't really happen. I don't think that anybody would disagree with me if I said that Vista can't be compromised by rootkits. Even so, Microsoft's taken some steps toward better protecting their operating systems. When Microsoft created Vista, they did away with the Windows File Protection Service and replaced it with the Windows Resource Protection feature. Windows Resource Protection isn't specifically designed as a defense against rootkits, but it is designed to help prevent critical operating system components from being compromised, which is a good step towards protecting against rootkits. I think that if Microsoft is serious about their secure computing initiative, though, they need to build the next version of Windows in a way that will make it much more resistant to rootkits. And acquiring an anti-rootkit software vendor might be a logical step toward accomplishing that goal.
Well, as long as we're talking about Vista, I've heard a lot lately about how one of Vista's biggest problems is that it's incompatible with users' existing software, especially on the anti-malware side. With Vista SP1 just coming out, what are you hearing about these incompatibilities? Are things improving for Vista users yet?
No, unfortunately not. Service Pack 1 didn't really address many of the compatibility issues that Vista was having with other applications. It was primarily created to resolve performance problems and various bugs that had been discovered since the initial RTM release. Microsoft doesn't really consider the compatibility problems to be bugs because the compatibility issues are the result of the new security features that lock down certain parts of the operating system. The sad news is that Service Pack 1 actually causes some compatibility problems in some cases. There are about a dozen different applications that are known to work fine in Vista, but not with Service Pack 1. Granted, these aren't hugely popular applications, but those problems are still worth mentioning. Even though Service Pack 1 hasn't really done much to fix the various application compatibility problems, though, that doesn't mean that administrators are completely out of luck. The vast majority of the software vendors that I have dealt with over the last year or so have either released patches for Vista or completely new versions of their applications that are built to be Vista compatible. In some cases, this might mean that an organization has to spend some money for an application version upgrade, but in a lot of cases, that's what it's going to take if you really want to run all of your apps on Vista.
Has SP1 helped silence the complaints of Vista users on other fronts yet?
Well, I haven't really talked to a lot of other administrators about the issues that SP1 is designed to address. In my own organization, some of the performance improvements have made a noticeable difference. I suspect that you'll probably continue to see negative internet posts about Vista's performance because, let's face it, some people just have to have something to complain about. In my opinion, though, yes, Vista runs slowly on some systems, but if you stop and think about it, so did Windows XP when it was first released. Over time, though, Microsoft improved the operating system and better performing hardware became the norm, and eventually the performance problems completely went away. And I think that it's only logical that the same thing is going to happen with Vista over time.
All right. Well, that's it for our podcast, recapping what's hot in the Windows security world for April 2008. I'd like to thank all of you for listening today, and of course, a very special thanks to our speaker, Brian Posey. Thanks, Brian.